This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Now, our third guest today is Siobhan Scaife of the Guardian Family Network. Now, Siobhan was a guest on the show in 2015, so welcome back, Siobhan.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Great to have you back. So perhaps we could just start with you telling the listeners what the Guardian Family Network is all about.
We provide guardianship services to students from overseas who are studying at boarding school over here, at independent schools all across the whole of the UK, from Cumbria down into Kent and across into Devon. And at the moment we've got 50, well actually that's not true, we've got 70 students, we did have 50 until September of last year, at 38 different boarding schools.
Wow, you've been very busy since September then.
We have, yes. I don't feel like I've got much sleep in the last year, to be honest.
But. And I know that since you came in last time, you've bought the business, is that right?
That's correct, yes. I was given the opportunity to purchase it from my sister, who started up the business 5 years ago. And so in May of this year, I will have owned it for 2 years, and it's absolutely flown by.
Brilliant.
I know predominantly with students from Japan, is that still the case?
That's correct. In fact, now we do have every single student from Japan. We did actually have one American girl and one Chinese girl, but now we've got all Japanese students.
How's that come about then, that it's Japan specifically?
We work closely with an agency based over there in Tokyo, and they have a partnership with ourselves and also this sister company, who are an education consultancy. So they place the students at school, and then we provide the guardianship to those students once they've started at school.
And on average, how long would they spend overseas?
It very much depends. We seem to be getting more and more younger children now. Really? So some of them are as young as 8, and they will usually stay until they're 18. And quite often they'll go on to university here, because they've become so used to the westernised culture that it's very difficult to return to Japan. And especially, I think, when you're girls, I think, to return back to
a culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when they come, when they're 8, they have a guardian. Will it normally be the same one all the way through for the 10 years or so? Or?
It's very difficult because it's a voluntary role. So all we do is we ask that the guardian can give as much time as possible when they first commit to the child. And some of them will, in fact, see the child all the way through. But if they start at a prep school, they may well move to a school out of area, and it's not practical for them to then continue with the same family.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know there was an obligation to have a legal guardian. I didn't realise that.
There is. And this is what surprises, I think, a lot of overseas families when they place their children over here at school, is they don't realise that there is a commitment to have a family who can support them if they're sick, or, I mean, dreadful case that they get suspended for whatever reason, there needs to be a family who will come and sort of scoop them up and look after them until arrangements can be made.
And it can extend to coming along to sports days and parents meetings as well, can't it?
Absolutely. And a lot of families will treat the child as their own, so they will be there. You know, it is a home from home environment. If they're particularly musical, they'll attend all of their concerts. If they're very sporty, even if they're not, and they will give as much support as the child will allow them. So most of them have really good relationships with their families.
You can imagine in some instances they might ask if they could be adopted, or
absolutely.
Can I come and live with you forever?
Yeah, we do have some students who actually would like to be day pupils with their families, as their visa doesn't actually allow it, they have to spend the majority of their time in the school, and then they're only allowed out to stay with the family for a certain period.
But presumably when the education part's ended, are there instances where they do say, look, I really want to stay in the UK, can I live with you, and I'll pay the rent and I'll do and I'll work? And
it's never happened to us.
Okay.
When they go on to university, they do want that university experience, but they do maintain the relationship with the family. Whether they return abroad, you know, the student will still keep in touch, and, you know, throughout sort of marriage, children, the whole thing. So it's a really nice experience.
So it's a friendship for life almost.
Absolutely.
And in terms of the obligations of the host family, or the guardians should I say, it's pretty much exeats and half terms. It's not the long holidays, is it?
No, absolutely not. No,
they go
all
home
of them
then.
Do return home.
Yeah.
Unless they're having a sort of Easter revision course or summer course or whatever, they will tend to return home. And in fact, some of the schools are now having longer half term holidays over a 2 week period, and in which case it's possible for the students to then return home at that point in time too.
How many schools did you say you're now looking?
We've got 38.
Wow, so all up and down the country?
Absolutely, yes. We've just branched out into Yorkshire, which is quite interesting when you're trying to recruit for new families in an area that is literally hundreds of miles away from where you are.
And are you Petersfield way?
I'm down on the south coast.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
Sussex. So, it is benefits of social media, lots of sort of contact with newspapers, publications, parish magazines, and definitely word of mouth, because once a student is with a family, that family promotes the whole experience, and usually friends want to get involved and friends of friends. And
have you ever had to sack any families?
Yes, actually.
Have you?
Rare occasion. I think they were almost depriving a child of food. They were locking the fridge and locking them out of a sitting room so they can't watch television.
Terrible.
I mean, that's why it's so important that we match the child very carefully with the family, and we personally visit them beforehand. We explain what it's all about. So none of these people are interested in the financial side of it. This is all about supporting a child, but you learn quite soon who are the families that genuinely want to do this for support.
I know they're not paid, are they, the families? It's just expenses being covered. So why did that family sort of take on that role then, if that's how they were going to treat the child?
Probably they make money on the food, I guess.
Well, I think it's more actually, I mean, for them, it's we get a lot of grandparents who have got nice large houses and they really miss out on that school experience.
Yeah.
So they want to get involved with a local independent school close to them. They may well have children of a similar age and they want to get their children to experience a new culture, because it really does open their eyes. And I think by having an overseas student, it makes your own children appreciate what they have.
I think what I meant as well is that the people that you had to exclude from the programme, what was their reason for doing it, unless it was to try and sort of, I suppose, crimp a bit at the expenses? Because why do it if their heart wasn't in it? Do you know what I mean? What's the benefit for them for doing that?
Well, I think it is purely, you know, if they go down the route of it being a sort of financial benefit to them, then we very politely say that it isn't the right thing for them.
No.
Some companies do actually provide families where they will have more than one student in a home, and that you walk into a room with multiple bunk beds.
Oh, okay, a little dormitory situation.
Say, absolutely, yeah. And they will say, yes, we're willing to have four or six students at a time, in which case it does become quite lucrative. But we very much have a rule, one child, one family, so that they do get the proper family experience.
Yeah,
I mean, I totally kind of take on board what you said about the cultural differences, because I worked for a Japanese bank for many years.
Oh, did you?
So there is a lot I can see where you're coming from with that. But you mentioned here about even the way we eat our food. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, in Japan, when you eat a meal, you eat noisily. And if you have your mouth open, it's a sign of appreciation. So we have to teach these little ones especially that, you know, we don't do that over here. Our manners are very different. You eat with your mouth shut. You do say please and thank you, because they don't tend to do that. And they're not being rude. They never make eye contact at all. And that's considered to be sort of rude as well, sort of quite confrontational. It's a case of educating the families and saying you need to be a little bit patient with the new ones that are coming in, because they're not being rude. They're absolutely terrified. They're afraid of speaking another language because they have very high expectations, the parents do, and the children don't want to get it wrong. So they would rather not speak than say something that is...
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I know you went to Japan, was it quite recently?
That was in April of last year.
Yeah, and so it was quite an eye-opener for you, wasn't it?
It was. Only it's interesting watching the film Lost in Translation, which I'd never seen until just before I went. And it was just so precise. I couldn't believe, I felt like I was on another planet. There are no road signs in English. Very few of the civilians speak any English at all. If you go in a taxi, you get dropped off somewhere and nothing makes sense. It's just unbelievable. I really have a huge amount of admiration for these children when they come to the UK, because if it's the reverse of how I felt, then I think they're amazing.
Yeah, and you're a grown, confident woman, you know, with our little
I didn't feel it when I was getting out of a taxi thinking, I don't know where I am. But
I went years ago. I can't remember. It was Tokyo. It was quite busy and buzzy. I can't really remember what you're describing, to be honest. Where were you?
I was in the centre of Tokyo. But it's just so enormous and so grey as well, whereas we have lots and lots of green. I think the children over here really love our countryside, and that's what they're signing up to as well, is the whole
English
sort
lifestyle.
Our experience with dogs and family and lots of walks with wellies and is what they throw themselves into.
As you say, it must then be hard for them to go back to their own, you know, back to Japan and sort of immerse themselves in their culture again after being in this environment.
Absolutely.
It?
Well, I still look after one of our students, and I've now had her 4 years. And I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I see the girl who is at home in Japan with her parents with a very severe hairstyle, and, you know, beautiful. She's absolutely stunning. But then there's a little girl, because I live down on the beach, that plays, you know, with the curly hair and everything else, and it is like two different people, but they handle it so well.
I suppose,
and kind of drop straight into it, and I think it is absolutely amazing.
And just from your perspective, because I know you've had, how many children have you looked after now? Is it?
I tend to scoop up the ones that whether they come into the country first of all, and then we haven't found a family for them. It's a great way of me getting to know the students and better placing them when we are still looking for families. But multiple ones, instead of siblings, little ones, older ones, sort of, and having times where you sit and have a meal, a breakfast, for example. I'm talking about different types of food. I was talking to one of them who didn't have much English, and I said, at home, what would you be eating? She was eating some Cocoa Pops, big bowl of Cocoa Pops, sitting in front of me, not saying many words, but she said, when I'm at home, I have rice and soup for breakfast. And there she was with her Cocoa Pops.
Because the tradition is to have KFC at Christmas, isn't it?
Japan,
apparently. Is that right?
Apparently.
She haven't heard of that, but there we go. Learned something.
I didn't know that. That's quite funny.
So I was going to say, what are some of the reasons that the families would need their children to board overseas? Because often they would come, you know, they would travel if they're working overseas in a bank, they would come with them, they would all sort of relocate. Mm. So why, you know, what's the reason behind sometimes that not happening?
Certainly for the families that we deal with, it's because their parents want to give their children an opportunity.
Okay.
I think Japan has changed a huge amount over the last 50 years or so, and it's opened up to, you know, the Western world. It's now a tourist destination, and I think parents are recognising, if they want to move with the times, that their children need to speak fluent English.
Okay.
And obviously, and they really respect our education system.
I think they respect England generally, don't they? I mean, a lot of our brands are really popular in Japan,
absolutely,
aren't they? They really kind of want to buy into that English lifestyle that you described earlier as well, the country, the world is the...
And the architecture they think is wonderful. So when they're looking for a school, the more it's falling down, the more appealing it is.
Oh, right, because it's authentic and crumbling.
Absolutely, and that's what they really are looking for their child.
Right. And you provide different levels of service, don't you? I know you mentioned on your website the basic homestay and prestige.
That's right. And to be honest, the majority of them actually go for the full service, which is literally managing funds on behalf of parents, so paying school bills, checking, you know, obtaining uniform for them, ensuring everything's name taped, frequent communication between the school, our office in Japan, and parents. So, yeah, in reality, we kind of like to think that it's the gold star service.
Assuming the role as a parent, in fact.
Absolutely. So 24/7, we are there for them.
Is that a new thing you've introduced? I don't remember the service, you having two different service levels previously, or maybe we didn't touch on it.
Yeah, it's something we're sort of exploring. To be honest, we haven't done a huge amount with it because I'm sitting on the fence about whether it's the right thing for us to do as a whole, because we're actually gaining a reputation within all the schools that we're working with more and more closely for that different kind of service.
Okay.
And I think when you start to talk about homestay or hosting of families, it then very much goes down the route of the bunk beds and the kind of B&B approach, and we'll leave you to get on with it. But there is a need for it. It very much depends on the country that you're dealing with, because some countries just don't understand how important guardianship really is. So they will find a really fantastic school, but then the guardianship is sort of a last minute, oh no, we've got to sort this out.
Yeah.
I mean, could you see it sort of moving into places like South Korea, for example?
Absolutely.
That's a big market there, isn't there?
And there are so many agents. I mean, literally, it's however much time I've got available.
Yeah.
Is there are always contacts out there and business and students that...
Well, I see your team is expanding.
It looks like it has. Yes, it has.
I don't know how many you had last time, but I mean, looking at the website,
there were just two of us.
Wow.
You and your sister, was that?
Well, it was myself and Emily, who is kind of my right-hand female man, that makes sense.
Yes.
So, you know, she manages all the day-to-day sort of liaison between the schools and guardians. But we've got somebody involved very much in recruitment of guardians, because that is quite difficult now, especially when you're branching out into different areas.
Yeah. How'd you become an agent?
A lot of the agents will actually come to workshops. The British Boarding Schools workshop is the biggest one. They will sort of build the relationship with the schools. And then what we try to do is sort of get off the back of that by building the relationship with the schools. So we're recommended to the agent. And we start to work in the same way we are with the office in Japan.
Right.
In partnership with them.
Busy few years for you.
Yes. But we're currently thinking about going on tour with a VW camper van, which I have to talk about.
So VW, it's within the UK.
To
spread the word.
Absolutely. So get our logo all over the van and talk about it. Because we go and visit the students every year in their schools to find out that they're sort of safe and happy and settled. But this is very much building the relationship with them
and the schools. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gosh, really interesting. It's looking like we're going to have to wind up our chat, unfortunately. Time has moved on very quickly today. So any of our listeners are really interested in sort of buying into this, maybe being involved in some way, being guardians or, you know, possibly for another reason, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
We have actually got a contact form on the website, which is guardianfamilynetwork.co.uk.
Brilliant.
It's actually guardianfamily.co.uk.
All right, okay. We'll go with that one.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Siobhan. That was Siobhan Scaife of the Guardian Family Network.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.